Tell you, it's great. How many is enjoying the summer weather? Isn't it awesome? It is so awesome. Much better than the winter. Thank God for summer. Hallelujah. You're so good, Lord. Why don't you stand this morning and turn over to the book of Revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, right? The revealing of Jesus Christ, the book of Revelation. So Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 through 11. And then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength. Thank God for those two things, right? Salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. It is here, man. It is right here within us today. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. He's been cast down. And they overcame him and they overcame the accuser by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Let's hold up our Bibles and say it like we mean it today. Come on, say it with the pastor. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have, and I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess, my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word, and I will never be the same, never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn to 10 people this morning. And say, hey, I've overcome. How about you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We have overcome today. Amen. God is good. Praise the Lord. So if you were here two Sundays ago, Holly spoke last week. If you were here two Sundays ago, I was talking about really being led by the Holy Spirit. And as a believer, God wants to lead us by his Spirit. Amen. And he leads us into victory, by the way. That's where God leads us. He doesn't lead us into defeat. God always leads us into victory. Thank God we triumph in Jesus Christ. So we want to be led by the Holy Spirit. We want our daily lives to be led by the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I want to be walking in victory. I don't want to be walking in defeat. I'm walking in victory today. Amen. I'm walking in victory because of being led by the Holy Spirit and what he tells me in his word. So when we talked about being led by the Holy Spirit, and one of the ways we are led by the Holy Spirit is that inner witness of the Holy Spirit, that God witnesses to our spirit, the Bible says over in Romans 8, God witnesses to our spirit that we are the children of God. We are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. So when we are led of the Spirit, the first thing you need to know is who you belong to. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I said the first thing you need to know is who you belong to, whose child you are. Amen. You're not out there drifting around somewhere. You're not, you know, not in part of a family. You are a child of the Most High God. In fact, not only are you a child, but in this life and on this earth, the Bible says we reign as kings and priests. So, man, I mean, when you start understanding about this and you have the witness of the Holy Spirit in you, then you know who you are in Christ. We're going to talk about that a little bit later in the message this morning. And then we have the inner witness of the peace of God, that we don't do anything without God's peace in our life. Right? We don't attempt to start something new. We don't do anything without the shalom, the peace of God, leading us in our life. The peace of God leads us like an umpire in a game, right? So we don't go without the approval of peace in our life. So don't do anything without God's peace. That's the way that God leads us, is through the Holy Spirit, through the witness of the Holy Spirit, and by the peace of God. And we have a peace that passes all understanding. So we're led by the Holy Spirit. Everybody say Holy Spirit. We're led by the peace of God within us. Everybody say peace of God. And the third way that we're led, of course, is by the Word of God. We're led by God's Word. If it's not in the new covenant, then don't receive it. You've got to understand the difference between the new and the old covenant, and you've got to have a revelation of the new covenant, the covenant of grace. And when you receive the covenant of grace in your life and the covenant of unconditional love, you walk in the word of God that applies to the new covenant, which always gives us victory, right? So we have the witness of the Spirit, right? We have the peace of God. We have the rule of the Word of God within our lives. Come on, somebody. Amen. And so we have godly counsel as well. So if we're going through things and maybe someone else has gone through something similar and they can help you as you go through it. And so you may go to someone and seek out godly counsel for what you're going through. Now, first of all, you need to find somebody that's mature, that knows the Word, amen, and really is going to give you Word advice, not just their advice. And then when they give you something, it needs to witness with your spirit, and you need to find it in the Word. Man, this is good teaching right here, man. Because so many people will run to somebody and tell them everything that they, you know, are going through, and people will give them all types of advice, and it doesn't even line up with God's Word. It's got to line up with God's Word if people are going to give you advice. Can somebody say amen to that? So today I'm going to continue this a little bit, but I want us to know how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit versus how to hear the voice of the enemy. Because let me tell you something. The enemy, as well as the Holy Spirit, they're both speaking today. They're both speaking. They're both sharing things with us. And what we choose to hear, choose to believe, is what we choose to become or will become. So we want to make sure that we're hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit and what he's speaking to us over the voice of the enemy. Man, amen. And the only power that the enemy has in our life is the power of accusation. This is what he has tried to do, continues to try to do over people's life, is to accuse them, condemn them, bring shame in their life, try to get them to a place of defeat and a place of giving up. And he will work on you endlessly if you let him. And this is what Jesus said here. He said, they overcame him, who? The accuser, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their what? By the word of their testimony. Satan was the chief archangel. Most of us know that. He was over the music in heaven. He rebelled against God. He fell from heaven. And now he is a defeated foe. When we receive Christ and his work on the cross, we overcome the enemy by our testimony of what Christ has done in us and for us. Amen. And the devil was defeated over 2,000 years ago. He just doesn't know it yet. So sometimes you got to remind him. And when he starts reminding you of your past, you start reminding him of his future. Come on, somebody. Amen. So I want you to see how the enemy works. The enemy always works in the operation of fear. Somebody write that down. Just say, the enemy always works in the operation of fear. The enemy always works in the operation of fear. He always tries to bring intimidation into our lives. He always tries to bring fear into our lives, to bring a distorted picture in our lives, and he always, always, always operates in fear. He never operates in love. Always in fear. He works hard to accuse people of their past mistakes and failures. So some of you might be sitting here listening this morning online, and the enemy is already trying to condemn you of some mistake, some past failure, something going on in your life, something way back there in the past even. But I want to tell you, he is a liar. Jesus said he is the father of lies. Amen? He is a liar, and whatever he's accusing you of is a lie. And you need to receive the truth of God's word this morning and realize that he is defeated and take authority over him. Amen. Look what Paul said, and we know this verse very well, but look what Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7. Look at what he said here. He said, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. One of the first things you need to realize as a believer, that fear that is trying to come upon you is not from God. You need to arrest that in your heart, in your mind, and realize fear, intimidation is not from God. It is from the enemy. Amen. God has not given us that spirit of fear, and that's where the enemy operates. So anytime you start feeling this uneasiness, this fear come up on you, this condemnation, this shame, this guilt, realize it is not from God. Period. Amen? But what has God given us? He's given us power. Everybody say power. He's given us authority. We have authority in Jesus Christ. That word power there is dunamis, dynamite power. We have power within us today. Amen? We've got Holy Ghost power within our spirit today. He's given us power. Not only has he given us power, but he's given us love. And what's so interesting about this love here, it is agape. It's God kind of love. God wants us to be secure in his love. God wants us to be secure in his unconditional love for us this morning. Man, when you are so secure that God loves you, the enemy, man, he doesn't even want to come around you because he knows, man, there's nothing that can defeat the love of God operating in your life. Amen. And he said, a sound mind. Everybody say sound mind. The word sound mind there, really, it's translated into Greek, self-control. That God's given us self-control. Turn to somebody and say, I'm not out of control this morning. In fact, turn to three people and say, I'm not out of control this morning. Amen. I'm in God's control. Praise God. I've got self-control. One of the fruit of the Spirit operating in my life is self-control. So God gives us self-control. He gives us self-control over our bodies, over ourselves. He gives us self-control so that we can walk in the victory that God has given us. We're not out of control. We're in God's control. Amen? And if it's full of fear and doubt, it is not from God. Amen? God wants us to be secure in his love, and God wants us to understand that we have the power of self-control this morning. Look at Romans 5:8. I want you to see the love of God in operation here. Look at Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us. When? When did God do this? When did God demonstrate his own love towards us? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you know that? Do you realize that once you've received Christ, you no longer identify as an old sinner? So many people say, well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. No, you're a new believer. Amen. You've got new things in you. Praise God. You've got a brand new spirit in you. I'm not going to identify with my old self. I'm going to identify with my new self, the new thing that's in me, the Spirit of God. Come on, somebody. Amen. I'm going to start identifying with who I am in Christ and not identify. And I'm going to talk about that in a second. And not identify with that old Adamic nature any longer. I'm identifying with my new nature in my new spirit, in my new man, because the Bible says old things have passed away. And all things have become new. So that's what I'm going to identify with. Woo! Amen. Come on, give him some praise. Amen. That's who I'm identifying with this morning, not my old nature. And so many people, they want to go back and start identifying with this. I'm not going to identify with that. I'm going to identify with who I am in Christ today. Amen. And listen, if God demonstrated his love towards me while I was in that condition, how much more does God demonstrate his love towards me now that I've received him? That's why the Bible says again in Romans 8 that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Amen? Why? Because we are his children and his sons, his daughters. Woo! Man, God, you are good this morning. Amen? Let me ask you something. How many have kids here this morning? Wow. How many have grandkids? Hey, they're the best. I'm just saying. Praise God. But how many have great grand? Wow, that's awesome. Any great grandkids? Come on, we're waiting for those, right? Amen. Let me ask you something. How many of you had children and they've made mistakes? Come on. How many's had children that've made mistakes? Anybody? How many's had children that sometimes just really got on your nerve? Come on, somebody. Anybody had kids like that? How many had children that were so sweet and one night they became a teenager? Right? Come on. Anybody? Yeah, they're still sweet, right? Let me ask you something. Would you kick them out of your house if they made a mistake? How about two mistakes? How about three? How about four? Some of you like to kick them out, you know, especially when they're 25. Out the door, babe. So let me ask you something. What if they made 100 mistakes? What if they made 1,000 mistakes? You know what? They'd still be your kids. We have an insecurity about our security in Jesus. We have an insecurity about our security in Jesus. Can I tell you that once you've received him, your spirit man is sealed forever? Amen. He is never going to kick you out. Amen. He's never going to toss you aside. It doesn't matter if you've made a billion mistakes. God still loves you. Amen. He cares about you. And you need to put your foundation on that this morning. You need to have such a strong foundation of the love of God in your life that he's never, ever, ever going to, never going to leave you or forsake you. That is the good news of the gospel. It's almost so good that you can't hardly believe it, but it's so good that you do believe it because it's the truth. Amen? Amen? So here's the thing, man. God loves us this morning, and what we need to do is we need to be focusing on God and his love because that is what strengthens us. Praise God. We have to keep our focus on Jesus and not ourselves. We've got to keep our focus on him and not other people. You know, we're living in shaking times, right? I mean, our focus could be all over the place. The stock market's up and down. Let me tell you something. I believe God does that at times just to remind us that we don't trust in money, we trust in God. Gas prices are way high. You know what? Don't worry about it. Why? Because the government, gas companies, they're not your provider, right? Come on, somebody. Amen. Gas, you know, baby formula. People cannot find baby formula. In the United States, people can't find baby formula. What a time. I mean, there's a lot of shaking going on. Let me tell you something. Keep your focus on Jesus. Keep your focus on Jesus. Look over at Hebrews 12 and 2. Look at what it says. The writer of Hebrews 12 says this. Paul says this to us. I believe Paul wrote this. He said, looking unto Jesus, who? The author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He said, keep your focus on Jesus. Amen? Keep your mindset, your heart, everything focused on the Lord. And I want you to drop down and look at verse 28, this same chapter. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, listen, church, this economy, this world, everything right now seems to be shaken. But we're part of a kingdom as we keep our mind and focus on Jesus that cannot be shaken. Gas may go to $10 a gallon. What are you going to do about it? You're going to pay it, you're going to buy it, you're going to drive on, and God's going to provide. Hallelujah. It may go to $20 a gallon. What are you going to do about it? You're going to believe God, you're going to pay for it, you're going to drive. And God's going to provide. Amen? He always does. He's always faithful to our heart. Amen? And, men, the enemy wants to distract us with all these things, but God is faithful in everything that we do. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have what? Let us have, everybody say grace. Let us have favor. Favor in your life, amen, supersedes anything the economy or anybody else does. We've got favor operating in our life through grace by whom we serve, Jesus Christ, amen. Favor's operating in our life. And we overcome the enemy because what he wants you to do is focus on everything that's negative, show you everything that's negative instead of what God has done for us by his spirit and by his love. Old song says, keep your eyes on Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things on earth will grow what? Strangely dim. As we what? As light of his glory and grace. Man, what a message. Amen. So how do we overcome the enemy? James 4, 6 through 7. James 4, 6 through 7. James says, but he gives more grace. Everybody say more grace. I want more grace in my life. Amen. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives more grace to the humble. So the way we receive grace is by walking in the humility of Jesus Christ. Walking in humility is recognizing everything that he's done for me. Not trying to do it myself or figure it out, but walking in everything he's done for me. Therefore, look at the next verse. Therefore, submit to God. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he might flee. He will flee. Amen? As we draw from God's grace and we walk in all that God has for us, we're resisting the devil. And when we resist him, the Bible says, in that manner, he flees from us. Look at 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. How does he devour someone? When people begin to listen to his lies and believe his lies instead of the word of God, he begins to eat away at them. Guys, I want to just encourage you in this time we're living in to put your focus on God's word. Put your focus on the goodness of God. Put your focus on Jesus. Lift up Jesus in your life. Amen. Make Jesus big in your life as you're going through these things, because we're going through some shaking times. But I want to tell you, everything might be shaken, but we will not be shaken. Come on, somebody. Amen. Stay alert. Watch out. Be on guard. Amen. Understand what the enemy's trying to do. He's wanting to devour us. How does he do it? He does this. I want to show you three ways that the enemy tries to do this. Look over to Matthew chapter 4. And let's start with verse 2. Matthew chapter 4, and let's start with verse 2. Amen. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, speaking of Jesus afterwards, he was hungry. Turn to somebody and say, wouldn't you be? Amen. I'd be too, right? I fasted 21 days at one time, and I thought I was going to die. I literally did, man. I thought I was going to die. And I had a buddy of mine that was in our church at the time, and he wanted to take me fishing, and I didn't know where we were going to go, and I didn't want to tell him no, and I was in about the 14th day of my fast. I didn't tell him no, and I said, yeah, I'll go, and that was stupid. I think I felt the pressure of man. Man, you know, I went with him. So he took me, we were living in Maine, and he took me way out in the wilderness, and we climbed a literal mountain to go where we're going fishing. And I thought, this is the end, Jesus. Just come and get me. Right? So if you guys know me, I like to eat, man. I like food. Food is good. Praise God, man. I enjoy food. And so anyway, I made it. I mean, God gave me grace. We caught fish that day. I remember we caught fish. We caught some trout. I made it back down. I made it home. But I about died, right? So, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. You know when the enemy comes to you? He doesn't come to you at your strong moments. He comes to you at your weak moments. You got to recognize and understand that. He'll speak to you in the midnight hour. But there's a voice greater in him. That's the voice of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, when the tempter came to him, look at the next verse. Now, when the tempter came to him, now, if he came to Jesus, he's going to come to you as well, right? When the tempter came to him, he said, listen to what he said. If the devil's always full of doubt, and the devil's always trying to get you to doubt God, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Now, I want you to write this down or put this in a middle note, because this is something I want you to really get today. The number one thing that the enemy comes against so many people, number one, is provision. Provision. And in this time, that's something that people are struggling with, is provision. I talked about the shortage of the baby food, the gas prices being so high, housing. How many know housing has gone out of sight? Housing's gone up. Everything's gone up. You know, inflation's gone up. And one thing, the enemy will come to you and he'll whisper in your ear, hey, I don't know how you're going to make it. Did the same to Jesus. But here's the thing, man. What you've got to know, what you've got to understand, is that Paul said in Philippians 4:19, but my God, everybody say, but my God. But my God shall supply all your needs all your needs. Everybody say all. That includes gas. That includes housing. That includes baby formula. That includes all your needs, whatever it might be. All my needs, not according to your riches, not according to the government's riches, not according to the economy, but according to his riches in glory. So the first thing he came to tempt Jesus with was provision. And look what Jesus said. Look what Jesus says. Go back to the other verse if you can. Thank you so much. Amen. And he answered him and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word. So if Jesus is saying this to defeat the enemy and putting the enemy back in his place, shouldn't we take the word as well? Amen. And realize it's the word of God, our testimony, that defeats him. So provision, when he comes to you and you look at your checkbook and it doesn't seem like it's going to match up with this much bills, what do? You start speaking to your checkbook the word of God. And you start telling the word of God, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. Provision. Look at the second temptation. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on a pinnacle in the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, for he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Second one, first one was provision. Second one was protection. The enemy will come to you and say, oh, what about your kids? What about your grandkids? He'll get you worried. I know so many people today are just in constant worry about their kids, their grandkids, their children, their in-laws, their outlaws. I mean, it is amazing to me how people take on worry. That is from the enemy. Don't allow the enemy to begin to worry you about protection. God is a God of protection. You're in a covenant relationship with God. God is a God of protection. Amen. In fact, look at Psalm 91 real quick this morning. I want you to go there and look at verse 1. Because when you're going through something like that and fear comes up in your life and you are afraid, well, you know, God, I where's your protection? You need to be quoting this psalm. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That is Jesus. I will say, I will get it out of my mouth. I will say, he is my refuge and my fortress. That's what I'm going to say. My God, and in him I will trust. Verse 3, look at this. Surely, surely, surely he'll deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. I want to know if anybody been delivered from COVID in this place. Amen. We've been delivered. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. He shall cover you with his feathers. He shall cover you with his feathers. Under his wings shall you take refuge. His truth, his word, shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid by the terror by night. Come on. Nor the arrow that flies by day. Nor the COVID that walks in darkness. Nor the destruction it lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but hey, devil, it's not coming near me. Amen? It's not going to come near me. So when you're hearing this word from the enemy about protection, open up your mouth and begin to quote that. He can't stand it. Amen? And then the third thing, let's go back to, if we can, Matthew. I want to give you the third thing this morning. The third thing that the enemy really tries to come against is position. Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him up on an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said, all these things will I give to you if you will fall down and worship me. Now, here's the thing, guys. Jesus had all those things already. He had all those things already. You know all the things you got in you already? Wow. Do you know all the good things you've got in you already? Praise God, man. You've got the kingdom of God living in you. He tries to attack your position. He tries to come against your position. Every time he said, if you are the Son of God, he always tries to come against your position and who you are in Jesus Christ. Amen. He'll come against you. Amen. And then the Bible says, then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and you shall serve him only. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Wow. He always tries to come against those three things. Protection, provision, and position. That's why it's so important that we know who we are in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is always convicting us, not of sin. The only sin he convicts us is the sin of unbelief. John 16:8. The Bible tells us that the only thing the Holy Spirit convicts us of, let's go there. Can we go John 16:8? The only thing the Holy Spirit convicts us of is sin. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Look at the next verse. He explains this. He goes on and tells us this. Of sin because they do not believe in me. That's what he convicts us of. The sin of unbelief. Everybody's saying, well, the Holy Spirit's out there convicting everybody of sin. No, there's only one sin that convicts you of, the sin of unbelief. Right? So listen what he convicts the believer of. Next verse, amen, of righteousness. He convicts us, wants to convict us, of the righteousness of God we have now in Christ Jesus. That's what he does. That's what he's trying to tell us. You're all right with God. What does righteousness mean? Righteousness means I am right with God. Woo! Man, that didn't give you some peace. I don't know what does. Praise God. Because I go to my Father and see me no more. What does he judge? Listen to what he judge. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Not only is he judged, but he's defeated. Amen? And so he only has the power that you give him. Don't give him any. That's the answer to that. Don't give him any. The Bible says give no place to the devil. Don't give him any place up here. Turn to somebody and say, boy, he's really preaching good to you this morning. Amen. He's preaching real good to you today. Don't give him any place. God wants to convince us of righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand this morning. I want to talk to you about your position right here, right? First of all, our position is that we're seated with Christ. The greatest thing you understand is that you're seated with Christ. In other words, you're not anxious this morning. You're resting. Resting comes from the Lord. You're in a position of rest today. You're not anxious. Amen. And listen to me. You're full of salvation. So I want you to raise your hand this morning and say out loud of your mouth, thank you, Lord. I am saved. I am forever forgiven. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The enemy has no power, has no power, has no power over my mind or my will. I am free in Jesus, whom the Son sets free. This is your identity, church. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I am healed. I am healed. I have a strong mind. I have a strong body. I am the healed of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I am healed. I choose to walk in divine health. Oh, say that out loud. I choose to walk in divine health and in divine mental health. I have no fear. I have no fear. I have no fear of lack. I have no fear of protection. God is with me. And if God is with me, who can be against me? God is for me this morning. If God is for me, who can be against me? I am filled with the Holy Spirit. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells within me. Man. Woo! Oh, come on, somebody. Raise your hand and act like you got something in you this morning. Amen. I've got the Holy Spirit living in me today. I have the same power that Jesus has. I have resurrection power. Resurrection power living in me. Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. Jesus raised me from dead things into living things, and I am full of life today. In the mighty name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. That's who I am. That's what I declare. That's what I declare. That's my testimony, and I overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony, and that's who I am in Jesus Christ. Amen. I am who he says I am. Wow. Give me a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. Listen to me. Listen to me this morning. When you walk out of this building this morning, or maybe even while you're sitting here, the enemy started playing with your mind. You have got to take your authority over him. When that starts going on or fear starts entering your life, you've got to rise up. You've got to get a word in your mouth, and you've got to speak the word against that. How long do I speak the word? Until that spirit leaves you alone. Till that thought drops away. Amen? You start focusing and praising on Jesus, and I'm telling you, the enemy cannot stand people who praise him, who praise the Lord. He cannot stand people who praise the Lord. Why is that? Because what you're doing is taking his position that he once had in heaven. He was the worship leader in heaven. And when you start praising God, it drives him crazy. Amen? And it puts your focus back on Jesus. So I challenge you this week. Every time the enemy tries to speak a negative thing in your life, you start praising God and quoting the word of God and see if it won't make a tremendous difference in your life. Give five people a hug this morning. Tell them Jesus is Lord. Will you do that today? Let's give him another hand up of praise. Amen.